So you can write down at the title, Fear Not. Now I'm going to give you some answers. First of all, I'm going to ask you to make sure that your heart is open. Your heart's open. Forget about what you think you know. But the Holy Ghost is never going to tell you to do anything that God says is an abomination. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. One of those is hands that shed innocent blood. You can't get more innocent than a child in the womb. We're going to go face to face with one of the reasons why the church is not functioning the way it was empowered to. And as I already told you, that reason is fear. People are afraid. How many of you would drive an automobile? Say amen if your check engine light ever came on. What did you do when that check engine light showed on? Did you ignore it? No, you stopped. And if it was flashing, you did it in a hurry. If it's steady, it's okay, I got some time, maybe I can run. But if it's flashing, the instructions say, take it immediately to be serviced. We have this flashing light in front of us, folks. And God is saying, handle this immediately. This is kingdom business. You can ignore it if you want to, and you'll find yourself stuck on the side of the road while the world is passing you by and looking at you. Yeah, I thought you were a Christian. Why don't you speak to that car now? Go ahead, lay hands on the engine. And you know what? You don't do it. Why? You're afraid somebody's going to see you and you're going to look foolish talking to the car. So you'd rather stay there and wait for AAA. Nothing against AAA. We have a AAA membership. But that's not my first choice. My first choice is, God, car won't start. What should I do? If he says call AAA, thank you for inventing cell phones. Because trying to find a phone on the corner for a quarter ain't happening. But 2 weeks ago, we were sitting in a restaurant. I believe we were in a restaurant. And I said to you, God just gave me the next series. So would you text Fear Not? Or because that's what will happen. I'll be anywhere. And all of a sudden, bang, it comes. Look at Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation. And this is one time I'm giving you solutions before we talk about the problem. And the reason, because I like to know why God does things differently with me. I just like to know. It's not a requirement. I just like to know. He said, because when you're talking about the problem, I want the people to think, no, but the word says this. Because that's how you overcome fear. You remember what the word says, and you act on that. Now, my beloved ones, nudge your neighbor and say, yeah, he's talking about me now. I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Stand how? Victorious. Why? Why? Because you've been supernaturally infused with strength through your life union, and you have the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. The force of his power. When a bomb detonates, it's the force of its power that does the damage. The device is sitting here. It explodes. Pieces of it stay here. The force of the explosion goes out and causes all the collateral damage. We're to stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through us. Think about that. God's explosive power comes in. It can't stay in us. It goes out. So we become channels of it. We become channels. There's some ungodly stuff coming over here. This is a job for Christian man. God, I praise you. In the name of Jesus. I don't care how snarly that thing may be. It's not better than my God. If it's not better than my God, it's not better than me, and I'm in Christ. So you want to try and get a piece of me? Come on. You're about to get a new revelation. Put on means you don't already have it. It's available to you, but you're not wearing it. I took this jacket out of my closet. I looked at it. I heard put on. I had a choice to make. I could wear it or not. Who's the choice left to? Where did the instructions come from? Yep, God. Not Minister Phyllis. But God speaks to me through Minister Phyllis. And a good portion of the time I listen. I'm just being honest. I don't always appreciate her wisdom. And I should, because she's my helpmeet. God ordained to help me meet out the purpose God has for my life. So he's not going to tell us something different than he's told me. If they don't match up, we need to keep talking to get it to line up, because when we do things that are not in agreement, it doesn't work out well for us. Put on God's complete set of armor. That's another reason why we're afraid and we operate in fear. We're not fully clothed. We're trying to figure out what's going to look decent for me to go outside in. To put on God's complete set of armor. Say why? So that you will be protected as you fight against evil strategies of the accuser. It took me almost a half an hour to get through that point. I actually fell asleep, woke up at 3:35, said, oh, I got to get up and finish. I didn't get up because I was so tired until about 7:45. Because I got stuck there. Not the bad kind of stuck, the good kind. It was a revelatory sticking. It says, put on God's complete set of armor. What does it say in your translation? Why? The only time, folks, listen to this, because I wanted to run around the room screaming when I saw this. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight, not as you run away. Not as you sit there talking about it. You're only protected while you're doing some action. When you're standing against it, fighting against it, resisting against it, you are protected. You ain't protected if you ain't doing nothing. We need to understand that. That's why the enemy lulls you to sleep before he comes with these schemes. Because if you're asleep, you don't see it coming. So you're not fully dressed. You're in bed clothes. He's not afraid of bed clothes. He'll let you go out and buy some nice looking stuff. It says, so you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Verse 12. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Good on time train. Your hand to hand. You can't fight this thing from a distance. You have to get up close and personal. The enemy needs to see in your eyes that you're not afraid of them. It needs to hear coming out of your mouth that you're filled with faith. You can't. I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. No, you have to get face to face, nose to nose. You can't stay 1,000 feet away and take them out. Right, Deacon Tony? Sometimes you have to get up close and personal. So you're not battling human beings. Listen to who we're battling, folks. But with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion. Think about that. We have the highest principalities operating in rebellion, and we're supporting their cause. Why? Because I belong to a different political party? Whatever happened to, we are in that family of the Lord. We've been washed in his blood, and we are going forth. There's a song I've been looking for. I believe it's called We Are a People Who Are Not. I remember doing that song during a youth fellowship meeting. We're not black or white, we're not red and green, we're something. But if you can find that song, please send it to me. But we fight, our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. I got a problem with that. Whatever happened to arise, shine, for the light is come. What happened to that? What happened to you are the light of the world? Not you might be. You are the light of the world. He said, don't put your light under a bushel. Why in the world would you put your light under a bushel? Because you're afraid. You don't want anyone to be able to locate you. Like Satan goes around with a Christian locator. So we try and hide so we can't be found because we don't want anyone to know. I want everybody to know. So I go, what's your name? Pastor Greg. Your mother didn't name you pastor. Nope, my father did. One guy got upset with me. What does it say on your birth certificate? Now it says Pastor Carr. At one point it said Gregory Carr. Then I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I became Christian Carr. Then Father had some additional work for me, so I became Deacon Carr. Then he wanted to give me even more work, so he said, Pastor Carr. So if you have a problem with that, talk to my father. Why? I'm not afraid of anybody. What's the worst anyone can do to me? But think about that. Jumping ahead of scripture, but it's okay. Whom do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right. Flesh and blood didn't give that to you, but my Father gave you that revelation. My Father gave you that revelation. And on that revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. I will give you a new identity. You won't be identified as a bunch of guys walking around with me. You are the church. And you found it on a revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the power of all the power of hell. The Passion Translation says all the power of death cannot overcome you. So the devil comes threatening me with death. Like my oldest son. Ha, 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 ha. Is that all you got? You're going to take me out with power you don't even have over me. The devil has the power of death. Just doesn't have it over believers. But we don't remember that, so we become afraid. And we start fearing. I wear a size 16 shoe. In some shoes, I actually have to wear a 17. Size 17. A bug or a spider is about half an inch long. And it's going to have me... I don't even have to do it that hard. I just... And let the other boat clean up the carcass. I just fed you. But we're fearful. We're running around being held back by power someone doesn't have over us. It's like you know the gun's empty, but it looks so imposing, you're afraid of it anyway. What if he pulls the trigger? It's loaded with blanks as far as you're concerned. Verse 13. Because of this, you must wear all the armor God provides. You must wear all of it. This breastplate is heavy. Yeah, being weighted down by sin is heavier. You must wear all the armor that God provides so you are protected as you confront. Not as you're protected as you just sit back in the shadows. You're protected as you confront. You're protected when you stand up there and say, abortion is wrong. It goes against God's principles. Or you're like the person running for governor of Georgia. How can you as a pastor sit there and espouse abortion? Are you, what was the term you used about baptizing or? Yes. Right, what did he say? He said, you can just... What decision do you make? Whether to baptize a baby or to kill them? Right. He was saying, he might have said christening. Whether you're christening / baptizing or going to kill. As a pastor, what are you going to say? What are you going to get behind? Because what I do is what I teach the people. So I'm going to teach all of you that it's okay to kill the potential prophets of God. Not just as a pastor, honey, but as a Christian. But as a pastor, boy, as a pastor bringing... You are protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. I'm going to knock the stuffing out of you. Yeah, but I'm going to rise victorious. So knock away. Knock away. Again, I remember playing basketball. Taking a charge. I was in so much pain for this 265-pound person moving at full speed, hitting me knee first right in my midsection, lifting me off the ground. I fell down, and he came knee first on my abdomen. I saw all the colors of the rainbow. Felt like anything I had eaten for the last 3 weeks wanted to come up. I wouldn't allow it. Why not? I didn't want him to know that it hurt. So I saw the referee make the right call. I smacked the floor and got up and ran in searing pain by the coach that called timeout. Call timeout! He called timeout. I went over. He said, Futsal, I said, everybody gather around me. They gathered around me. I collapsed to the floor. I'll take you out. I said, don't you take me out of this game. I came out and Tim said to me, he said, Futs, I wasn't trying to hurt you. I said, who said you hurt me? he kind of looked. But the people watching the game said, this guy Futs, and every time that someone hits me, he's always bigger than he actually was. But he said he didn't even flinch. He got up and ran down court. Folks I had to play against. Now they're thinking about, if that didn't take him out, what are we going to do with him when we play them? Now they're fearful. We haven't even played yet. Because they're thinking about a reputation. And they don't believe that they're good enough to handle that reputation. That's why you get afraid when you start reading about these afflictions that can come on your body. You start reading about all the people that it's taken out. And you don't say, 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but it won't come nigh me. We don't say that. We look out the window and we see 30,000 coming at us. You're protected as you confront. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand, which means we're supposed to be standing, not retreating. We won't be supported while we retreat. We're supported as we stand. That's why the word says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Why? Because he's not used to seeing man stand. He's used to seeing man crumble and say, yeah, I'll eat from the tree. Stand on your feet. Oh, put on holiness. Where have we heard that? As the protective armor that covers your heart, which is letting you know the devil's target is your heart. Why do you think that is? Because your father has said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if you speak with your mouth and believe with your heart, it shall be done. So if he can get you speaking and believing the wrong things, it shall be done. But if you have holiness covering your heart, then the things that the enemy does shall not be done, because it cannot get into you, because your heart is protected. Stand on your feet. Get up. But it hurts. I don't care. No, I refuse. Let me restate that. I do care. Get up. If I didn't care, I'd say, oh, it's going to be all right. Someone bring him an ice bag and put it on his head. Get up and get back on post. Do you know who you are? Stand on your feet, then you'll always be ready. You won't be ready. Say, I'm just going to lay down and get ready. You don't get ready laying down. You become ready when you stand. You have to stand. Be upright. Not like that Will Smith character in Men in Black. That's how I fight. No, it's not. It's how you give up. You stand. A warrior stands. And they don't just stand. I'm a child of the Most High God. Are you crazy? You think I'm going to stand by and let you do this? Oh, no, buddy. Think again. You'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. Not when you're going shopping to believe for a parking space. In every battle, take faith. Why is it saying in every battle? Because you're always going to be in a fight. I don't want to fight anymore. Well, then go to heaven. If you're here, you've been equipped to fight. When your race is over, he'll bring you home. But while you're down here in the race, in the fight, you fight. For it is, your faith is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. So it doesn't matter how fierce the battle is. It doesn't matter how much is coming against you. Your faith will quench every one. Embrace, we were talking about this earlier. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. Embrace your salvation. No, he's not going to take you out. He can't take you out. It's not your time. There's still work for you to do. There's still victories that you have to achieve. Embrace it. And your attitude is, what happens if you die? Heaven. Yeah, yeah, heaven. Heaven. Yeah, yeah, heaven. It's like you're cheering about that? That's my home. I'm on assignment. When I go home, it means I fulfilled my assignment, and I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And taking this, we haven't gotten past the first set of scriptures yet. And take the mighty, razor sharp spirit of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit. pray how? Pray passionately. Because you're fighting as you are praying. You're fighting as you're praying. Pray passionately in the Spirit. Passionately in the Spirit. I already told you about Matthew 16, where Jesus changed their identity. I'm building not a mob of people, not a group of people, on the revelation that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm building my church. On the revelation from my Father God, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am building my church on that. And even the power of death won't be able to overcome it. It means there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Nothing. Why nothing? He doesn't understand nothing. But it's not important, or it's not enough, that Jesus believes that. You have to believe that. Because he asked a question. Who do people say that I am? If you want to get a read on them. Well, some say you're Elias, John the Baptist, you know, one of the prophets. Mm-hmm. Then I believe you looked them eye to eye. Who do you say that I am? See, it doesn't matter. Jesus knows who he is. He knows who his Father is. It doesn't matter to him what other people's. What do you, who do you say that I am? Because you're one of 12. 11 can say the right thing and you'll be in trouble. Because they'll be fighting, they'll be safe, you'll be running and get taken out. Who do you say Jesus is? That determines whether or not you're going to be afraid as you go. If you don't realize Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he has given you all the power available, power over anything, what's there to be afraid of? Things should be afraid of us. Planned Parenthood should think, Christians are not going to have this. I don't know what they're going to do. So they came up with a plan. A kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. So get the churches fighting one another. Get the nation fighting one another. Then we could get, maybe the person we get in office might not be the one that should be there. I don't know. But if we get people acting on emotion, anything can happen. But the church needs to say, oh no, we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. But some of them were convinced that he was John the Baptist. But all that's important is, what do you say? He said, on the truth of who I am, this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I'll build my church. The truth of who I am. The truth. So we need to always start looking for the truth, not the popular. the truth, because that's what he's going to use to build his church. So he gave them a new identity, and he told his disciples, he said, there's nothing earthly. He wanted them to know there's nothing on earth at that time that was more powerful than death. And he said, not even death can overpower my church. I don't care how powerful death is. My people are ready for it. Why? Because I've anointed them. And I will give to you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm, to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. So you really only have to ask yourself a question as to whether or not you should support something or not. Is it allowed in heaven? Is it going on in heaven? Then it shouldn't be going on in the earth. Since we've been given the keys to bring, so people can live on earth like it is in heaven. Whatever's in heaven, we've been authorized to loose on earth. If it's not in heaven, we've been authorized to bind it on earth. Why? Because where my people are should be a reflection of where I am. Since they're to imitate me, since I said, as I am, so are they in the earth. As the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. So whatever's going on where he is what should be going on where we are. What's going on where he is? 420 angels. Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. There's no discussion about critical race theory in heaven. There's no racism in heaven. There are no abortions going on in heaven. There are no murders. There are no rights. I just read an article about a transgender volleyball player that threw a ball, who was a male identifying as female, on a female volleyball team, threw a ball in excess of 70 miles an hour, hit one of the girls in the head, and she's in the hospital now with serious head and neck injuries. Why? Because a male, I couldn't imagine being 6'6", 235 pounds, playing power forward against a team of girls or women. I can't imagine that. I took a hit from someone 265 pounds running at full speed. What if it were reversed and a person were female? I can't imagine that. But it happened. You can look it up online, you'll see it. I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for something else, and a big thing just popped right up. I was like, Father, I come against this in the name of Jesus. In Genesis 1, is there any fear in our God? Is there any fear in the Father? Any fear in the Son? Any fear in the Holy Ghost? Okay. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. I'm going to hurry up because I'm out of time. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing, everything that flies with the wind. anything that comes out when you sneeze. You have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's what God said. Verse 27 confirms. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Underline them, please. He blessed male and female. That's who he blessed. He told male and female, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. That was a job given to male and female. He didn't say male and male have dominion, govern the earth. He didn't say female and female govern the earth. He said male and female, you two together govern the earth. So you upset that principle. There's no governor for the earth now. Because you upset the principle. You put in a substitute to what God said. Earth doesn't have to listen to male and male. Earth doesn't have to listen to female and female because that's not the image of God. We need to understand that. I don't know if you saw it like that. I didn't see it like that till about 2 o'clock this morning. I had to look again because my eyes were going. Male and female, he told to have dominion. I'm going to share that I have, like I said, I only shared 2 of the scriptures for you. But in 2 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is the New King James. By the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, to Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you also. Therefore, because I'm persuaded the faith is in you, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Among all of the things that God gave us, fear was not one of them. You know why? Because he didn't have it to give. He said, well, God says to fear him. Yeah, he's talking reverentially. Yeah, there we go. Reverentially. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me. Don't be ashamed to say, yes, I'm a born-again believer. Yes, I'm a member of Redeeming Love Christian Center. Yes, I grew up under the other box. Now I'm continuing my growth under Pastor Carr and Pastor Funstein. You got a problem with that? Don't be like Clint Eastwood. Well, do you, punk? Do you? No. But I don't have a problem going to the devil and say, go ahead, make my day. I know who I am. I know who I am. God has not given, God made us in his image, and fear is not a part of his profile. So if you remember you're made in the image and likeness of God, you won't be afraid. I have so much more that I wanted to give you today, but I don't have time. But I will tell you this. Fear will cause you to forget who you are. Fear will cause you to forget your training. I used to operate on both ends of fear. I was moved by it, and I did things to cause it. I've told you this many times before. I'm not going to take a long time, but God said tell you again, so I'm going to tell you again. When I played basketball, we were very, very good. But we were nowhere near being the best ever. But people looked at us like we were. Because we did things to cause them to doubt their own ability. To cause them to operate in fear. Leading up to, we playing the Roadrunners? Oh, I hope this one doesn't show up. I hope that one doesn't show up. They're all going to be there? Yep. And during the game, I would hear things. I would hear the coach saying, what's the matter with you? Run the play, run the play. And they're standing there like they'd never touched a basketball before. Amazed at what we were doing. And then by the time they realized that they were at least as good as us, probably even more talented, it was too late. Game over. But here's what I found interesting. I could see that working once. But in a season, you usually play the teams twice. And then if they make the playoffs, you play them a third. Why is that strategy working every single time? Because we were good at promoting fear. The devil is good at promoting fear. We have to be good at being who Jesus says we are. And it doesn't matter what the enemy promotes. Because we will be living testimony, living examples of the truth that Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of the living God. He's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's given us authority to bind and loose. He's given it to us. He's given us all we need. So we have no need, absolutely no need of fear. Because if we needed to be afraid of something, God would have given it to us. And he said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. So there isn't anything that you should be afraid of. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father, for speaking so candidly with us this morning and sharing us how critical it is to understand who we are and what we stand for and not be ashamed about it or afraid of it. We thank you, Father, for giving us new revelation as to how we're to properly use your armor that you provided for us. It's to be used as we are doing the things you have called us to do, not just put on to walk around safely, no, to put it on and get into the fray, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a powerful class of demon gods, but they ain't more powerful than us. When we make up our minds to stand and fight, we're not ashamed of being called a Christian. We're not ashamed of living the life of a Christian and as a Christian. And we thank you, Father, that in this dark, dark world, our lights shine as beacons. And people will see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for giving everybody their individual revelations as about what we shared this, what you shared this morning. I didn't say it before, but I thank you now for allowing each person to hear what they needed to hear and how they needed to hear it so they can get in the battle and do their part. Because you said the body stays healthy as each part does their own special work. Thank you for them all, Father. In Jesus' name, may they not forget any word that was shared with them this morning, myself included. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Excuse me, folks, while I have a drink of water in the real church, not the substitute church. Is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior and you were paying attention and you realized that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Well, I need to add one more thing to that. No one gets to the Father without going through him. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you've never received him, he needs you to open the door and let him come in. And you do that by making a simple confession. So if you're here, well, why don't we do it this way? I'm going to lead everyone in a brief confession of faith. And according to the Bible, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It's that simple. You don't have to make a list of all the things you've done wrong, then burn them up. Well, first of all, this will be incomplete because you don't remember all the things you've done wrong. But I'll tell you something that's great about it. God said, I will remember your sins no more. So why don't you say this with me? Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. And he's seated at your right hand. So Jesus, I address you now. And I invite you, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. It's in your name that I pray. Well, according to Scripture, if you made that prayer and believed it, you just got born again. So if you're here, I'd like you to stand because there's some free information we want to get to you. If you're online, write us at the contact information you see on your screen, and we'll get some free information to you about who you just became in Christ. If you have any questions about it, use the same contact information and contact me. I will return your call or your email. May not be the same day, but I promise you, I will return it in Jesus' name. But is there anyone here? Do you understand who we are? Do you understand who we are? Yes. Got to answer me. I heard three people. I'm not mad at anybody, and neither is God. But both of us, me and God, want to see the church positioned as it should be and want to see the people who comprise the church, operating in all that God created us to be, because we are the only answer, we are the only right answer to the issues in this world. There are a lot of answers out there. We're the only right answer. And we have to stop sitting back and let the people have answers that we know are wrong because we're afraid to speak up. We've had influential athletes and actors and other quote-unquote people of notoriety change what they're saying because they figured the public would not come to see them anymore and how they're going to make any money. Well, if you read your Bible, it says very clearly, my God shall supply all your need. Didn't say the God of the non-believers. Didn't say the non-believers. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So again, whatever riches he has in heaven, he sends our way. But it's as we fight, as we are active, that's when. So your excuse, I know he told me to go to this nation, and as soon as he manifests the money, no, you got it backwards. You manifest the action, he'll see that you get there. You're waiting for the money, the devil is delaying it because the devil knows if you don't see the money soon, you'll quit. Because you'll be afraid. I don't want to be like Apostle Mike Keyes and go out there with $20 and can't get back home. No. I'm sure those thoughts came. Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. 50, owning a house, a mortgage, a child, two cars, I believe. 58 cents to their name. Net worth, 58 cents. 58 cents. Go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to Bible school, because you're going to start a church. 58 cents to your name. No coins in the crevice of the car seat or the couch or the chair. No pockets. Turn all your pockets inside out. All you get is lint. But God said, start a church. In the mid-40s, people starting churches were in their 20s. Didn't stop them. Didn't stop them. I never went to Bible school. Never wanted to go to Bible school. Only thing I thought church was good for was meeting nice ladies. But God didn't see basketball player. God saw pastor. And rearranged, what's that term, rock my world? He rocked my world. Put me in the presence of someone who got my attention. The right way. And then use my own personality against me. Because if I said something, I tried to do exactly what I said. And I said, I'll go to church with you one time. He said, well, you didn't keep your word there. Yes, I did. I went once and never left. And God's not a respecter of persons. All he wants you to do is have the guts to be a Christian. That'll probably be another message. Have the guts of a Christian. Let me let you go because you guys keep pulling. I walk away, it's like a bungee cord, come back. go like this. I said, no, I'm not opening you again. No, there are notes in there. God saying, you don't need this iPad. I put the notes here. But you get it. We have a civil responsibility to vote. As Pastor Clinton would say, to vote our conscience. I'm going to change that a little bit if I may. Well, I'm going to change it even if I may not. Vote as you're convicted by the Holy Ghost. He knows who's telling the truth and who's just trying to get elected. He knows. Do your research, yes. And ask God, what am I supposed to do with this information I found? Because see, God knows, though this person is talking pro-abortion now, they're going to get in office, and in 2 months they're going to have a change of heart because they just did that to get elected. He knows the hearts of every candidate that's running. He knows. And he may not tell you what their heart is, but he'll tell you whether or not they deserve your vote. Just like the Bible says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Your vote is not your own. How many of you say Jesus is Lord? Well, if you really believe Jesus is Lord, you'll ask him who he wants you to vote for, and you'll do it. Because that's all I'm asking you to do. That's all Pastor Ed is asking you to do. Ask the Holy Ghost. I literally did that 1 year. I said, I'm not going to pay any attention to what any of these candidates are saying. I'm going to go into the voting booth and say, okay, Holy Ghost, you guide my hand. I'm just going to just raise my hand. But I had already had some ideas from hearing things about what I wanted to do. But I'm going to let the Holy Ghost guide my hands. Close the curtain. All of a sudden you hear, oh, no! Because my hand was going in a direction I didn't think it was going to go. But I did what I said. I pulled the levers. Person, are you all right, sir? I said, no, I'm fine. It's okay. But that's what I did, and that's what I do. I pay more attention to the platforms now. And I do it not so much for me, but so I have knowledge when we talk. That I can ask you, have you considered this? Have you considered that? Go find out what each platform, not each person. Find out what each platform stands for and see if it lines up with who you say you are in Christ. And after you do that, see if it lines up who God says you are in Christ, and you vote accordingly.